All right, good morning, LifePoint Church. Hope you guys are doing well, enjoying your Sunday so far. I'm going to actually cap this off because the way my morning's gone, I've already spilt a few things and have made a few messes, so we're just going to cap this off so I have to unscrew that from time to time. So, I thank you all so much for being here with us this morning, choosing LifePoint Church to be your place of worship, and we love you. We're so glad that you're here. Today, we are kicking off a new message series that we're going to go over for the next 4 weeks called Like a Child. Now, how many of you, when you were a kid, I'm talking little kid, you just longed to be an adult and to grow up and be grown, right? Now, how many of you grown people long to be a kid again, right? Now, how many of you at some point in time as a kid were told, hey, you're not a kid anymore, you need to grow up? Anybody? Yeah, I did. Just this past week, on Thursday, I was out at golf with Sawyer, and I was over hitting balls while they were practicing just because it's best for me to not lord over him because he does better that way. But I was listening and kind of watching out of the corner of my eye, and I heard one of the coaches say to one of the other kids, he's like, Ricky, you're not a kid anymore. Stop doing that. I think Ricky was like, I don't know, 8 years old. I don't know what he was doing. But we're constantly being encouraged at times as a kid to grow up, to be more mature, to do this and do that, that is grown, right? And that's a good thing. As we get older, we need to kind of put away some childish things and focus on real life. But in another way, it doesn't serve us very well. It starts to become a roadblock for us, especially when it comes to our faith. We overcomplicate things. It gets rough. It gets difficult. And so that's really what we're going to cover over the next 4 weeks as we go through this series. And for this series, our key passage of Scripture is going to be found in Mark 10. And this is just, it's an incredible little passage of Scripture where we see Jesus interacting with a bunch of kids. And so what happens is these parents, they start bringing their kids to Jesus. You know, people, I don't know how they did it without, you know, social media and cell phones, how they knew where Jesus was going to be, when and where. I don't know if they did like, you know, papyrus flyers or what. I don't know. But they knew where Jesus was going to be, and they were taking their kids to see him. They wanted Jesus to bless them, just to be in his presence. And so they were bringing their children to Jesus. And of course, the disciples who, you know, just, they got it wrong so many times. They thought they were doing the right thing, but they didn't. They were not okay with this. They were like, to these parents, they're like, yo, do you know who he is? This is the Son of God. Get your little stinky kids away from him. Like, just take them over there. This is the Son of God. He's too busy for your kid, for your little one. He's too busy. And when Jesus heard this, Mark says that Jesus was angry. He was, one version says indignant. He was angry at his disciples for trying to drive them away. And he looked at him and said, no, let the little children come to me. Let them come to me. They're important. They're critical. Then he goes on to say this in Mark chapter 10, verse 15. This is our foundational verse for this entire series. And he says, and I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. If you cannot enter the kingdom of God like a child, the results are not going to be good. And to be honest, as adults in 2019, man, we really, really struggle with this. Because there are so many distractions, there are so many different theories, there are so many different things that are going on, there's so many different beliefs and denominations, and I'm right, you're wrong, no, my belief's right, and you're wrong, and it's just we're constantly inundated with, it's just constantly in our face, and so we start overthinking everything. We get in our head. And then tragedy strikes, something happens, and then we get caught up in this huge whirlwind, and we overcomplicate everything. When Jesus is saying, and you need to have faith like a child, that childlike faith. I don't know if you've ever been around a kid that has been brought up in the church or grew up in the church, but their faith and belief is just pure. It's so sweet. It's pure. It's simple. It's just simple. Sometimes when I'm working on messages, I'll ask Jen, like, hey, what do you think about this? Or what do you think, you know, what's an example of this or that? And I was talking to Jen and Sawyer, you know, he's playing like Fortnite or something, I don't know, and I didn't even think he's paying attention. And then he's just like, oh. And then he just starts rattling something off. And he's like, you know, because God's good. He just is. And it's just matter of fact. It's very simple. It's very pure. And so that's what we're going to be focusing in on. And over the next 4 weeks, what we're really going to do is we're going to look at some of the different attributes of God. Different attributes of God, but we're going to look at them from the perspective of a child. Through the lens of a kid. And we're going to see how we overcomplicate things when in reality, they're very simple, they're very beautiful, and they're very life-changing. And so today what we're going to talk about, and I just kind of gave a little teaser with what Sawyer was saying, but we're going to be talking about the goodness of God. But a kid would probably say it like, my God is for me, right? My God is for me. He's got my back. Next week what we're going to do is we're going to look at the presence of God, where a kid would probably say, my God is with me. Week 3, we're going to talk about the grace of God. My favorite, if you know me, I'm all about the grace of God. But we're going to look at a kid wouldn't use the term grace. They would just say, my God forgives me. He loves me. He forgives me. And then we're going to close things out with the power of God. He's powerful. But a kid would probably just say, hey, my God is so big, he could do anything. Do anything. From the perspective and through the lens of a child. And today, like I said, we're going to talk about that my God is for me. That my God is good. And as I've grown up in the church, I've experienced this myself. And I've seen all of my friends that I grew up with, many of them go through this process as well. But if you've ever been around a kid that was brought up in the church for a long period of time, you've watched it from a distance, or maybe you're even your own kid, what many times you see is this kid that has a very pure, simple faith. My God is good. He's always good. He'll never be anything but good, and he loves me, and he's for me, and it's so great, and it's simple, and it's beautiful. But then one day, something happens. One day, their eyes are a little more open to what they see and what they hear around them in this fallen world. And then so they begin to start overthinking things a little bit. Or they start to struggle with, God is good, then why did this happen? And it starts to, that comes a little, you know, bumping heads with that simple faith because of life. Some of the things that I've seen with, again, my friends or just people around, even as an adult, is you have these kids that are just, again, they got that great faith, and then all of a sudden their parents' marriage starts to crumble, starts to struggle. And so they pray, God, help my parents to stop fighting all the time. Help them, like, actually like each other again. God, you're good. You're for me. You're for my family. You can do anything, right? So God, do this. And then the parents divorce. And they're left wondering, God, I thought you were good. Or maybe they look at the world around them through the lens of that pure childlike faith and that everything's good and that God's good and they live in this safe, secure environment. And then they start hearing their parents talking about mass shootings, or they hear on the news, or they see clips of it. And they're like, God, if you're good, then why are people like this? Or maybe they have that childlike faith and believe just strongly that God loves them. He's good and he's for them. And then they start school. And then all of a sudden they start getting bullied because they're different. I'm talking about real bullying, teased, picked on, pushed around, made fun of relentlessly. And then so they go to that trusted adult, that teacher or someone else in their life, and they tell them, and they just kind of blow it off and just, it's okay, toughen up, you're good. And they're left hurting, broken, all alone, feeling that way inside. And then so they say, well, if that's the way the world sees me, surely God wouldn't see anything different. There's no way that God's for me. When they run into life, that childlike faith begins to slip away. And it's tragic. It's not good. It's not good for our spirit. It's not good for our soul. It's not good for who we are. But the reality is, the longer we live, the bigger that list grows of potential reasons why we would say, God, I don't know that you're for me. God, I don't know if you're good. And maybe you're here this morning, and that's kind of, if you were honest, not playing church and wearing a mask, but if you were honest, you'd say that that's kind of where you're at. You're going through some difficult situations, or you've gone through difficult situations, and it's leaving you like, God, are you really good? Are you really for me? And you're just kind of questioning everything. Or maybe you've kind of gone so far as the fact that you're like, yeah, I'm here because someone invited me, or I'm here just trying to figure some things out, but I don't know that I even really believe anymore. Because, God, you've allowed so much to happen that's not good. So how can I actually think that you care and that you're for me? And if you are real, there's no way you're good. At least not for me. These are real thoughts. These are real things that are going on in our society and culture today. This is one of the reasons why I am so, so passionate about the de-churched, which are people that grew up in church or at some point in time were connected to God or went to church or had some form of faith that they claimed. They claimed to be a Christian. They claimed to be a believer. But then again, life happened and they bailed altogether. And I promise you, in Louisville alone, there are so, so many people that are there. So many of my personal friends are there. They've lost that childlike faith. And it can happen to any of us. We've all probably been there at some point in time. And I promise you, if you grew up in the church or you're a kid, your faith is radically different than it was when you were a kid to where it is now. And some of that's good. You've grown, you've matured, you've connected more with God, but sometimes it's not good because we overcomplicate things and then we overthink things and then we lose sight of the beauty and the simplicity of the gospel. The beauty and simplicity of how we can reach and love other people, that it's Christ plus nothing, right? Like that we talked about over the past 6 weeks in Galatians, right? That we're saved by grace through faith. That's it. And he loves us, and he's for us, and we can keep it moving. So what we're going to do today is we're gonna check out some scripture, and we're gonna look at both some of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I want to show you some verses and passages that clearly show us that God is in fact for us, that he is for you, regardless of where you're at on that spectrum, that continuum of whether you're kind of distrusting God a little bit, or maybe you're losing sight of that childlike faith, or that believing that he's for you, or maybe you've bailed altogether, again, and you're here just kind of going through the motions. Wherever you're at on that, I just want to read some scripture. I'm going to throw out a few thoughts, and then I'm really just going to pray that God would do a work in you. Because I know that I could just sit up here and talk all day long and y'all could just space out or listen or whatever. But if God's not doing the work, it's not going to matter. So I'm just going to toss some things out here, and then I'm going to trust and pray that God is going to do the work, and he's going to work in you to help you to gain a different perspective on believing that he's for you, to regain that childlike faith when it comes to the goodness of God. So right out of the gate, let's kick things off with a few very well-known verses. If you've been in the church for any length of time, you've probably heard these verses. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That right there is a God that's for you. He has plans to prosper you. He wants to bless you, give you hope, give you a future, not to harm you, not to destroy you, not to tear you apart, but to bless you, to give you hope, to give you that future. That's a God that is for us. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he says, my man Paul, who I love, drops knowledge all the time, says, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who could ever be against us?" If God is for you, then who could be against you? The creator of all things, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God. If he's for you, you ain't got to worry about nothing. But we have to believe that he's for us. And when we believe that he is for us, it radically changes everything. It changes the way you live your life. Because again, if God's for us, I ain't got to worry about anything. I'm just going to follow him. It changes the way you do life with other people. You're like, okay, I don't have to sit here and judge and throw stones and prove that I'm right and you're wrong. I just gotta love people. Introduce them to Jesus and let him sort out the rest. Because he's for me and he's for them, and I want them to know that he's for him. Regardless of how they're living, regardless of where they're at. Hey, he loves you. He's got your back and he's for you. And ultimately what this does is it gives us a whole perspective change. The way we view life becomes different. And that's where life change happens. When we know that God is for us, he begins to work in us. And the way we see things and experience things, they're just different. So for the rest of our time, let's check out. We're going to look at three very powerful and noteworthy perspective changes that come when we actually understand and believe this. Like, not just in our head knowledge, not can just say, okay, God is for me, blah, blah, blah. No, when we really believe this, when we internalize it, when we truly can say, my God is good, and my God is for me, and my God has my back, no matter what. When you do that, you have some perspective changes that begin to change you, the way you do life and the way you live. And the first one is this: when I understand that God is for me, I don't hide from God, but I run to him. When God is for me, I don't hide from him. I don't have to, because he's for me. So I run to him in any and all situations. But when we don't trust God, when we don't know God, when things go south, or when we screw up, our natural inclination is to hide, is to run. Away from, not to. Adam is the perfect example of this. Adam and Eve, right in the very beginning. Three chapters in, we've already screwed this thing up, and he's hiding. Right? After him and Eve messed up big time, a guy comes along in the garden, and he says, "Where are you? Where are you?" And this is how Adam responds in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. He says, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." You see, in that moment, when sin entered the world, when Adam screwed up, when he heard God, he was, because of his sin, he was blinded by the fact of that sin. It came in between him and God, and he's like, "You know what? I don't even know where I stand with him anymore. I don't know where I stand with God. I don't know, is he good? I don't know that I trust that he's not just going to strike me down. I heard God, so I just hid. I ran away. I hid from him." And we do this all the time. I know I've shared this story before, but early on when I was at LifePoint as a youth pastor, I was just really busy. I was struggling with a lot of things, and my relationship with God was just on the back burner. It just really was. I had no relationship, honest, with God at that time. I was just going through the motions. And I got to the point that I had lost sight of him, and I was afraid to get into communication with him, to pray, because I didn't know how he was going to respond. I didn't know if he was going to hear me. And so I just avoided it. I hid. I ran from him. I didn't run to him. And when I finally did, it was the most freeing moment that I had had in an experience that I had in a long, long time. But the way I felt about it, because I was distrusting him at that moment, because I was fearful, I just hid. Think about it like this. How many of you have pets or a dog or anything, right? Yeah. Pet goes and does something it's not supposed to do, and you use that tone of voice, typically they tuck their tail and they hide. Your pet does not trust you. Your pet doesn't know what's about to go down because I just ate their shoes. Or how about at work? You kind of mess up. You screw up and you know it's not good. So you kind of try to avoid the boss. You know it's coming at some point in time, but if I can just delay it, if I can just hide a little bit and stay away from them, then maybe it'll be all right. Because we don't trust what's going to happen. We don't believe in that moment that our boss is good, that they're for us, because we messed up. And probably in that moment, they're probably not for you. But we hide, we avoid. Which is honestly what so many of us do with God. We mess up, we get off track, we're not living the life that we know we should, we're not in communication with him, we're not in the word. We're inconsistent coming and fellowshipping with other believers at church. We're inconsistent with going out and living out the gospel. And so we hide. We avoid God. We avoid church. We avoid connecting with other believers that we know are going to hold us accountable. We hide. And when that happens, it's because we don't trust that God is for us at that moment. Or we just don't know how he's going to respond. So we hide. But we need to understand that God is for us. And when you understand that, your perspective changes when you mess up, and you begin to run to him. Because you know that he's good, and you know that he's for you no matter what. Proverbs 18, verse 10 says this. It says, "The name of the Lord is a fortified or a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." The righteous run to it, not from it, but to it, and they're safe. And it's the same thing for us, right? When we are in those dark moments or life happens and we're going through that trial or that difficulty, we need to run to God. Because he's the only one that can comfort us. He's the only one that can keep us safe. And he's the only one that can pull us out of it. because he's a mighty, strong, fortified tower. And there we are safe because he's for you and because he's good. And he has plans to bless you and not to harm you. And he's for us. The second life-changing perspective that happens when we understand that God is for us is that when we understand that God is for me, I don't live for God's approval, but from God's approval. And I've shared this plenty of times because this has been so impactful and powerful in my life over the past 5 years that I want to make sure that everyone understands this truth. The fact that we don't live day to day for God's approval, but from the approval that we already have through Jesus. Romans 5:8. Again, a verse that many of you probably already know. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And don't miss the power of that. That while you were still a sinner, still a screw up, still out there doing your own thing, your own way, saying, God, I don't care about what you're doing, he still sent his son Jesus to die for you. While you were a sinner. Not after you cleaned your life up. Not after you were worthy. While you were in the middle of the mess. It's because he's for you. And through Jesus, because of the sacrifice that was made for you, he approves of you. Because when he sees Jesus. Not your sin. Not your mess, not the drama in your life that's either happening to you or that you've created. He approves of you because of Jesus. And when we understand that, again, it changes the way we live. You see, many of you, again, know my story, but so much of my life was focused on and revolved around this right versus wrong cycle. Right, this whole complex of, okay, where's the scales weighing out? Okay, I did this great thing. I was in the word all week and God's word, and I prayed and I was on it. So God loves me. He's proud of me. He's happy. Oh, I just got mad at the driver from Texas. I may have flipped him off, or said some choice words, or yelled at him. God disapproves of me. So now I got to go do some more good things. Okay, I did some good things. Now God's happy. Oh, nope, I took two or three too many looks at that woman walking down the road. And then so you're back and forth on this scale, trying to earn God's approval, living for his approval instead of from his approval. And it's exhausting to live that way. Because the fact of the matter is you're never going to get that scale to the right side. You're just not. And it's exhausting. And it's unnecessary. This is why he sent his son. Because he knew we couldn't do it. And he loves us that much. And he's that good. And he's for us. So he did that so that we could live for or from his approval, not for his approval. I think about, again, I've got a lot of golf examples. Sorry. But this week, Sawyer and I were practicing putting after his practice. We were doing a little putting contest, and we were working. And he was tired. He was getting frustrated. And I kept saying, hey, line your putt up. And he would just putt it. Give him another ball. Line your putt up first. He just putt it. And he did it like 6 times. Missed every single one of them in the same spot. And I said, I just don't know why you're not lining your putt up. I'm telling you. And then he gets all emotional and starts doing his little cry talk that he does. It's like, what's wrong? He's like, you're mad at me. I'm like, buddy, I'm not mad at you. I was just asking a question. Like, I keep saying it. You're not doing it. Well, you're mad at me. I don't like it when I feel like you're mad at me. And I'm like, so it created a great conversation, and he was good, and he knew I wasn't mad at him. But I'm like, dude, understand that I love you. I'm not going to love you any more or any less whether you made a stupid putt or whether you're good at golf or whether you play golf at all. I don't care. Because you're my son, and I love you. I'm never going to be mad at you, upset with you over golf, because I love you. He doesn't have to operate for my approval in any way, shape, or form. He can operate from my approval. Because no matter what he does, good, bad, the way I want him to go, or the way he wants to go, whatever, it's not going to change how I feel about him. It's not going to change how much I love him. And it's not going to change the fact that I'm actually for him. Always. Even when he may look me in the face and do the exact opposite, I'm still for him. 100%. And see, we have to understand that it's the same way with God. You performance junkies out here, take a break. Relax. Take a deep breath and begin to live from the approval of God that you already have through Jesus. It is freeing. It's life-changing. It's a whole perspective switch. The final thing that we see, this third perspective change, is that when I understand that God is for me, I don't fear what happens to me because I know that God is working in me. I don't fear what happens to me because I know that God is working in me. And I think maybe this is the toughest perspective change for us to make. We really have to be connected and seeking him to truly live and from this perspective and to allow this to transform us. But I'm telling you, once we do, it's powerful. It truly is powerful. Romans 8:28 tells us this. And we know that in all things, I always like to pause here and say that all things means all. All things. The good things. The terrible things. The things we wish that would never have happened. In all things, lightly. I've been through some things that were difficult. I have close friends that have dealt with things 10 times more difficult than anything that I've even thought. But I know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And see, what's incredible is that once you understand this perspective and you keep moving forward, later on down the road, you can look back a year down the road, 2 years down the road, 10 years down the road from that thing that you wish would not have happened, or that thing that didn't go the way you wanted it to go, that promotion that you didn't get, or whatever it may be, you can look back at it and say, "Ah, I see what God was doing there. It was uncomfortable. It was hurtful. It was extremely painful. But God did something beautiful. God did something incredible. God gave me something better than I could have ever dreamed or imagined." And we see this time and time again. I see it in other people's lives, and I see it in my own life. Again, nothing as tragic as I know many, many people have experienced. But, I mean, I think about my journey, and I've shared bits and pieces of it at different times to get to being right here. It's been crazy. Not what I expected. Not what I had planned. I mean, even just my church journey, going to Bible college, right into Bible college, shortly after that, I got married, and we were involved in the leadership of a church plant out in the south end of Louisville called Sanctus Community Church. Seems like a lifetime ago. But my 19-year-old self was the youth pastor there. Not a wise move, honestly. But that was a great time and then an incredibly terrible time. And how I viewed church and what we experienced and what happened. Then I think about moving on to an internship that I did as a part of my final piece before I graduated, which was great. And then went really bad, really quick. Got to experience a lot of the ugly politics and the judgment and all those lovely things that happen in the church from time to time. And so my response was, I don't want anything to do with this. God, I'm about it, but I bailed on church altogether. Spent about 2 years out of church, which led me to the job that I was working at, which I never would have picked. Never would have thought I was going into ministry. Next thing I know, I'm working in a psychiatric residential facility. Then I climb my way up that, thinking, okay, this is the path that God has me on. I go get an MBA, and then 6 months before graduation, boom, pastor of LifePoint leaves, the founding pastor, Jamie Johnson, and the next thing you know, I'm the lead pastor. While being a director at a psychiatric facility, while finishing up my MBA, this is not what I wanted. This is crazy, and this is exhausting, and it's wearing out me. It's wearing out my family. My kids don't even see me ever other than sitting on the couch on the computer working on something. It was not what I had planned. But when I look back, I can see that through all of that, God was preparing me to be here in this moment. And we could talk about it one time if you want to know more, but there are so many little details that prepared me to be here and to be fulfilling his current purpose for this season of my life. And I know that because he's for me. At the time, I didn't know what was going on, but now I know. And there's some craziness that's happening now probably that in 5 years, I'm gonna look back and be like, ah, I see what you were doing, God. It makes sense. I didn't like it. Keep it real, I didn't like it. But I get it, and I'm so thankful that I experienced that. You see, when we face difficulties, when we understand that God is for us, our perspective changes. We don't necessarily look at it just something toxic and terrible and miserable. Yes, it hurts. Yes, there's grieving. Yes, there's times of mourning or whatever it may be. But in that, we can know that God is working in us, that he's doing something, that he's teeing up that next beautiful opportunity to reach more people or to do greater things or truly to come in to your designed purpose, what he created you to do and who he created you to be. He's constantly moving you into that person. And if you're focused on him and seeking him, he's constantly working in you to make you more like him. He's working in us through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And see, when we can look back and see that, and we can see that, man, I could trust God with what happened because I saw how good it was. That next time I go through something, I can know, okay, God, I can trust you now. Because I know the last time I went through something, or my family went through something, or my friends went through something, I saw how you worked it for the good. How you were working in me, or how you were working in them. And now I'm in the middle of it, so I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that you're good. I'm going to trust that you're for me. And so my hope and prayer this morning is that if you're in that spot, you've lost that childlike faith, and you're feeling lost, or you're feeling far from God, you're feeling like he's not good, he's not for you. Again, whether it's just a little hint of that, or if you're about to bail altogether, regardless of where you're at in that, my prayer is that God will use this time, his word, to begin to shift your perspective. Shift it back to the fact that he's good, that you can trust him, and that he's for you. As you begin to see through that lens, as opposed to maybe the jaded lens that the world has thrown over our eyes. If God is for you, who in the world can be against you? If he is for you, you don't have to worry about it. You can trust him. He has plans to bless you, not to harm you, to give you hope, to give you a future. may not be the future you had dreamed up or you had thought or you would have picked out, but it's going to be the future that he created for you. And when you sit in that, it's beautiful. You're going to be okay because he's for you. So let's begin to embrace that perspective change. Embrace the fact that he's good and that he's for you. Let's pray. God, Lord, we come to you. I'm just so thankful for your truth, God, that you are for us. And then in your wisdom, you knew the difficulties and the struggles that we would face in life, knowing that at times we're going to struggle and wrestle with whether or not you're good just because of our own flesh and our own experiences. But yet you give us this beautiful roadmap to remind us, hey, I'm for you. I have plans to bless you, not to harm you, but to bless you. And if I'm for you, who can be against you? God, we're just so thankful for that. And so during this time, God, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of each person that's here or those individuals that might be listening on the podcast, God, that you would speak to their hearts. God, may they hear what it is that you want to speak to them. Again, whether or not it had anything to do with what I said, God, just soften hearts, open up ears, God, that we would hear from you and that we would be bold enough to respond. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here this morning and all that sounds great, sounds well and good, but for you, you can't really fully believe that God is good or embrace that God is good and that he's for you because you've never really come into that relationship with him. You've always kind of held God at a distance, just never really given your life to him, never stepped over that line of faith for whatever reason. Maybe you grew up in the church and you got burned. You saw people doing ridiculous, shady things. And then somehow you connected that with who God is and you just jetted. Understand that that's not God. He's good. He's for you. And he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. To come to this earth fully man, fully God. Lived a perfect life. Died brutal death for you. And then defeated death through the resurrection. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he's for you. That's how we know he's for us. Because if he did that, why would we not trust him in all things? With the little things or even the big things in our life. He's for you. So if that's you and you've never stepped over that line of faith, scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, that you'll be saved. It's just about confessing and believing. So if that's you, I'd be more than happy to speak with you, talk you through some of that. But if you're ready, you can just, right where you're at, you can just call out to God however he leads you and just confess. Confess that you have flaws, that you're not perfect, that you're in need of a Savior, and then believe that he died and rose again for you and that he is the one and only Savior. And that he's for you. If that's you, you just confess and believe, and he promises that we'll be a new creation, eternally connected with him, and it's beautiful. And he's for you. And he's going to work all things out for the good. Not that all things are going to be perfect, you're never going to have troubles again. Because life's not all rainbows and sunshine all the time. But in the midst of those tough times, we can know that he's for us. And he's got our back, and then he's working all things to the good because he's working in us. But maybe you're here and you're a Christ follower and you've just really been struggling with this. There's a lot going on in life, a lot going on at your work, in school, in your family, just in society and in our culture. You're just really struggling to believe that God is for you. Maybe you know it in your head with the head knowledge, but in your heart, you're really struggling with that. If that's you, I want to challenge you just to tell God that. He knows it. Just like when Adam hid, he's like, where are you? He knew where Adam was. But he was waiting for Adam to come forward to own his mess. And so for you, if that's where you're at, just tell him. He's big enough. He can handle it. Because that's when he begins to do the work. That's when he begins to change your perspective. So just own it. Here at LifePoint, it's okay to doubt. It's okay to struggle. That's why we're here. We want to help you through that. We want to help you get back on track. This is a safe place. And the reason we want to create that safe place is because that's exactly who God is. He is that safe place for you to land. Because he loves you. Because he's for you. So while the team plays, you just do business with God however he leads. You just spend time with him. Again, God, we just thank you for loving us. And I pray that you would speak truth over each person that's here, that they would hear what you need and want them to hear, God, and that they would be bold enough to make those life changes. Begin to take that little baby step towards closer to you. God, may we be the people you created us to be. And trust and know that you're good and that you are for us.
From the cloud, strange and loving sound. Hear it in the thunder and the rain. It's ringing in the sky like cannons in the night. The music of the universe plays. We're singing, you are holy, great and mighty. The moon and the stars declare who you are. I'm so unworthy, but still you love me. Forever my heart will sing of how great you are.
All right, so we continue on with our worship through our tithes and offerings. If the team will come forward. Here at LifePoint Church, there's a few different ways that you can give. You can give when the basket passes, or in the basket on your way out the door, or you can go online to our website. Top right hand corner is an online giving button. You click it, takes you to a safe, secure place where you can give. But we just encourage you to be faithful in your giving, to get in on the action that's going on here at LifePoint of continuing to grow and to move forward and reach as many people with the good news of Christ that we can, to love people and to bless people. So that's what we're about. And so we just encourage you to be faithful in your giving there. Also, if this is your first time out, I mean, thank you so much for being here with us. Man, we are so incredibly thankful for that. So in your bulletin or in the back, there should be a connection card. If you just take a second and fill that out with just some of your general basic information or whatever information you're comfortable giving, we just want to get to know you a little bit better and connect with you. Or if you made any type of decisions for Christ today, or gave your life to him, or recommitted your life, or you have questions about baptism or baby